Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
I'd like Neil to come to the front, please. Neil Bortma. You guys can carry on while he's coming up. Carry on.
Good morning. It's the first time in my life I'm doing this, so I'm not a professional speaker, I'm just Neil, so it's a bit intimidating, but he said to me I must do this. So this morning I came to the door and he said, be ready in season and out of season to glorify God's name. My story starts 28 years ago. I was a normal, able young man, and then God took my eyesight away. I only got, at that stage, I got 12% eyesight left. So I can't see if you're ugly or beautiful or thin or fat. So come to me if you need encouragement. But I wanna talk about God's goodness. Then let's move on. 14 years ago, a woman came to pray for me for my eyesight so that God will heal it. But while she was praying, she had an intercessory group going. And they were praying, and obviously God didn't heal my eyes. But a person with a prophetic anointing said that God showed her that he will first heal my spiritual eyes and then my physical eyes. And while I was driving yesterday, God said to me, be ready. And I didn't know it's going to happen like this today. So when you come to church, always bless people and be ready to witness. Because I asked that yesterday to God, and I didn't know it's going to happen like this. So Holy Spirit, please help me to have the right words that I will glorify your name, and it will be the glory to you, Lord. So last week, as I was driving, God said to me, I said to God, why am I battling with this thing now for 28 years? And he said to me, Neil, but what do you think? What do you believe of yourself? I said, God, but I'm disabled. He said, no, you're not disabled. You are differently abled. There's a difference. So, usually when you can't see, God shows you stuff and you can see better. You see with your ears and with your heart. So sometimes God uses me and he sends me to people and I prophesy over them. And I don't know what it means or I don't know how it works, but usually God is right, not me. So I want to talk about what happened to me about 3 years ago. Always be ready and never think that God can't use you in the state that you are in. Listen very carefully. Doesn't matter in what state you are. You think you're disabled. God said to me, you're differently abled. So I had a friend about 3 years ago in Paul, which I visited on a regular basis just to share about, and we actually prayed. And one Monday morning I went to his office and he wasn't there, and his secretary was there. And we started chatting, and we discovered that my wife and her cousin was roommates at school. So obviously, you know, women, they talk, wah, 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 and you get all the contacts and blah, blah, blah. And but what I didn't realize, and I didn't listen, that she said her brother was critically ill. And he was lying in Panorama. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know the term, so please come and tell me if I'm wrong. The old people, my mother was a nurse, and she said, what I heard is that this guy is, say, longer in zijn hart het platgeval. What that means is, he's on a ventilator or stuff. He's kept alive with a machine. That's how I heard it. I never saw the guy. So we talked about that, and I said, but let's pray for him. But we didn't get to the prayer. And I drove back to my house. By the way, I've got a legal driver's license. I've got a legal driver's license. Okay, so I drove back to the house. And while I was driving back, I put on Radio Tigerberg. And as I put the radio on, a voice said over the radio, radical obedience leads to radical breakthrough. And I said, okay, God. I drove to my house. My wife was in Johannesburg for that week. She never phones me during the day, always at night. It was about 1-2 o'clock, she phones me. She said, her friend in Bloemfontein called and said, thank you that you went and prayed for, let's call him Charles. I said, but I didn't pray for Charles. God said, but you had to pray for Charles. So I turned around, went back to the office. When I got back to the office, my friend was there, and his secretary, and another lady. So we were four there. So as I was driving back, God said, he told me four things. He said to me, that man has got the spirit of depression, he's got the spirit of bitterness, and the spirit of death over him. And me don't know what that means. But I drove back, and he said to me, if he dies today, is he going to heaven? Because that's the most important thing. I want to heal him, but if he gets up to heaven and he doesn't know me, he's going to hell. So I got into the office and I said to him, listen, we have to pray immediately. So while I was talking about, now you just remember this lady was in a traditional Afrikaans church. She doesn't know about driving out demons. So I asked the other lady, she was in a biker's church, to explain to her afterwards, but we must pray now. That was 4:30 in the afternoon. We prayed and we took hands. Now, this is what God showed me that time. We were in four different churches. I wasn't in Shofar that time. My other friend was. So I was in a different church in Paul. He was in Shofar. The lady was in a biker's church and the other one was in a traditional Afrikaans church. So God told me 3 years ago, the only thing I want is unity. Doesn't matter which church you are. Doesn't matter what you believe. If there is unity, I bless. So we took hands. And as I was praying, we drove out the demons. And the lady friend, the secretary that was the sister of this man, said to me, but he has got cancer. And that's the spirit of bitterness. I didn't know that. So we drove that out. In fact, he had leukemia, a blood disease, blood cancer. We drove out the spirit of depression. He said, yes, he wanted to kill himself, suicide. I didn't know that. And she said, yes, he's busy dying. He weighs 45 kilograms and he's on a ventilator, pipes in him. He's busy dying. They took off a funeral plan for him because he lives in East London. So they had arranged behind his back for someone to take him back in a coffin because doctor said there's no way he can heal this. There's no way. But I said to him, after we prayed, the first thing we must know, does he know Jesus Christ? And his sister says no. So, okay, that's the important thing. Let's pray for him that God sends somebody that he knows. It's very important. Never send somebody to somebody that he doesn't know. You must send somebody that he knows to give his heart to Jesus Christ. We prayed for that also. Then we left because I don't know how this stuff works. I'm just obedient. I went back home. 3 days later, they phoned me. They said, Neil, did you know what happened? I said, no, what happened? He says, the next morning, let's call it Charles, phoned his sister. He never phones his sister. He can't. He phones his sister. She thought it was the doctor to tell her that he was gone. He stood up and says, I'm standing next to the bed. I want to go home. She says, no, it can't be. It's impossible. She says, no. I want to go home. She says, no, but you're joking. She says, yes, but the doctors is very funny. They said to me they want to test me because they don't believe me. They tested him. 3 days afterwards, he went home. But what happened is he's in a traditional church. For a year after that, he witnessed about what God did. At precisely 4:30 in the afternoon, his dominee from Kradov walked in, exact time we prayed, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Neil. That's very powerful. Thank you for that testimony. Can I ask Willem and Gavin to come up as well? Sure, what a powerful testimony. God is good, and as Sia said, God wants to do it in and through your life as well. So, Willem and Gavin, can you come? Gavin, come to the front. Come stand here. That's it, both of you. Willem, that's it. All right.
Môre almal, kan ek Afrikaans praat, Mac? English. Okay, English is the one. I want to testify about missions. I really love missions. So when those type of mission videos play on the screen, I go on to Travel Start and check ticket prices and those type of things. But this end of September, Marijke and I went to India. It's her second time, my fourth time. And I just really want to encourage you just how much it means to them for us to go there. Every time I get there, they just welcomed so much. And when I leave, you know, there's like, you must come again, you must come again, you must come again. And that's just amazing, just the way that they received us and things like that. And from the beginning, like the first time I went there, I want to testify about this one guy, Mohan. Now, Mohan is actually, he was thrown away by his dad. He was basically worth nothing to his dad, and his dad sold him to this Naga family, actually. And the first time I got there, Mohan was, he wasn't saved. He just went through life. And then every time I go back, you know, you can see a change. And every time when we leave, he doesn't speak English. Hindi isn't even that good. But then he says, like, when you guys are here, there's a difference. You know, there's a difference when you're here. And this last time we were there, Mohan, he actually testified about God and God's goodness. And he was listening there to his Mega Voice audio Bible and things like that. And just seeing Mohan going from where he was to where he is now in a period of like 2.5 years, you know, is just amazing. And I just want to encourage you to plow into others' lives, even though it takes maybe not just one mission, it takes a few even. Just that one life is worth more than the few thousand rand that you would spend to go there. Yeah, so that's it for me. Thanks.
Morning, church. I'm Gavin. I first want to share a dream I had. I had a dream about 2 weeks ago, I think, and I didn't understand it. In the dream, Pastor Max in the dream, and it looks like we had one of the encounters, and I'm also testifying. And then afterwards, I don't know what we testified about. There's this guy who comes, and he wants my testimony, and he really wants my testimony, but he says, just give me the testimony, and I'm delaying, give me your details, and he says, no, just give me the testimony, even if it's in a PDF, and I'm like, just I put on the spot by it, and I'm like, okay, and I'm trying to make excuses, and as I make excuses, this man was able-bodied, and then slowly he starts to change. And then he starts to change and he becomes all haggard. And then I start, and I'm trying to give him my testimony. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. But then he goes down and he becomes a homeless man. And that was so weird for me, the dream. And I prayed and I asked God what the dream meant. And this is what I believe God was trying to tell me. That my testimony, and which obviously means your testimony, has the power to bring life. So I just want to testify to everything that's been said here. And because I was withholding it, and I was withholding life from someone. And that person, that man went right back and he laid down and he became hopeless again. And so I think now I understand why I had the dream. And so I want to tell you a bit about my story, and I'm going to jump a bit about because, And I pray that you will hear and you will see God. I'm on a journey with the Lord, and it started before I was born. I didn't know that. I don't like crying in front of people. But anyway, yeah. I just want to say, at the moment, I'm seeing so much of God. And I'm seeing how once I was so far from Him, and now I'm so close to Him. And one of the things that really gets me worked up is when people try to say that Jesus is just like someone else, and, you know, church, boring, boring. It is not. I come from a family, I'm an unwanted child. My father didn't want me, he was married at the time. My mother, I don't know if my mother knew or not, doesn't matter now. And the little bit I knew what my father was, he was a ladies' man and all of those things. And my father's family, they They were a very bad family, and I'm not going to go into that detail. But if I read the Bible now, it talks about the curse of the fathers falling on the children. I shouldn't be here. You know, he was a womanizer. He destroyed communities. He ripped families apart. And as I grew up, obviously, you know, what does a boy do who doesn't know who he is? He tries to be someone. And I obviously followed the path that the world laid out for me. I pursued it in girls. I pursued it in lust and sex and drugs and all of those things, wayward living. And I went down that way. And it's not my intention to glorify that, but I think it's important to understand it, because even if you don't have a hectic testimony, you have a testimony. Because Jesus saves, you know. And so please understand it. But anyway, so I went from one thing to another, one thing to another, one thing to another. And eventually I end up in Stellenbosch. And my manager at the time asked me, don't you want to join our prayer group on a Tuesday morning? And I'm like, oh, what? Why not? But at that time, I had gone back to the drugs. And God in His providence and His mercy, I never drank in Stellenbosch. I would drink in town. I lived in Stellenbosch. I'd drive to town every weekend. I never once, I tried. So you understand Stellenbosch? We all know it is a party town. But I never partied here. And now I can say how God protected me from that. And I went to the prayer meeting because I didn't have a problem with it. And there I had up at Bible school. And I was fascinated because I kind of grew up in a traditional home. I think maybe half traditional. You know, we'd go to church. We'd get dragged there. And we're like, oh my word. Why am I here? And no, nothing of the power of God. But nothing of the community. Nothing of the freedom I feel when I come here. And I want to testify that even my son cries in the morning. He wants to come to church on a Sunday. If I tell him tomorrow's church, then he wants to go now. And to see him, it's just so beautiful. There's a freedom that we have here, and my desire and my invitation is, do not think what we have is common. Do not think your life is common. It is not. You're not average because of the one who called you. And where I am now, I've got a son, 2-year-old, and it's so beautiful, and God is teaching me so much about his heart. And to see him grow, and I never had a father, I don't know any, no frame of reference, and that brings its own set of problems when you come into the kingdom of God, because now all of a sudden you must submit. People say they love you, you've never had any older man love you. You think like, yeah, right. I love you too, but you're always in a corner. Your hands are always up, and yes, we love one another, but I only love you so much, because I always have to have plan B. And I came in the church, I've been in the church I think about 7 or 8 years, and just God's faithfulness to walk me through. And he's still perfecting me and turning me into his son. He took me to missions. And I so want to just agree with that. I went to missions the first time. I cried. I asked God, why did you bring me here to do this to me? Because the strife, the jealousy, the bitterness just surfaced. My wife was with me. We were arguing all the time. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Sure. And God clearly told me. I asked him, why? He said, because I love you. And I was like, Lord, you could have loved me differently. We could have done this in Cape Town. This is me, honestly, whining like a little child. You could have done this at home. And he asked me, who brought you here? I did. You know, and God has been doing such amazing things for me and my family. I now have a wife and a child. I didn't know at the time that I was actually a third generation illegitimate child. And God broke it here through one of the pastors. I didn't even know that. But what I want to just declares that God's faithfulness, and it says that God chose us before the beginning of the world, before we were born. So regardless of what I've gone through, regardless of what you've gone through, that cannot cancel God's plan and his election of you. These are big terms, but it means he chose me, he chose you to be here today. And my encouragement is, don't waste that opportunity sitting here to warm a chair. Open your hearts to God. He wants to reveal so much. My son, because of God's covenant with my wife and I, will never experience the things I experienced. As long as I keep my eyes on Jesus and remember who I am in him, he will never experience those things. So I also want to testify to God's goodness. I want to testify to his life and how we are all far from him, and how he brings us in by his choice. And I've been reading some of Paul's letters, and it's the more we read, the more you get blown away. God does not need us, people. He doesn't need us, but he chooses us. And as we hear now, the man who spoke first, why? We you know, when you get used by God, you don't know why, but it's because it's not about us. So please help Let's help one another not to look at ourselves. Let's look upward, because God's got a big story. He's unfolding it. We have got a part to play. And I just want to say, the last thing I want to say is, I never grew up in a Christian home. And I had everything that came with it. And that's not important now. But if my manager didn't make that invitation to come to a prayer meeting, where would I have been now? So similarly, our testimony must be shared. You must share what God has done in your life. You must. You must. There are people like me who need to hear. You know that one sheep story? I am that one sheep. You are that one sheep. So when we see the world go crazy, see that as an opportunity to share what God did for you. Because now I'm blown away. I'm just thinking, like, if God's doing this in my life and He's given me a family like this and our home has got so much peace, what can't He do on the Cape Flats? What can't He do to these people protesting? What can't He do to Kayamandi? Really, man, for me, and when people, like I said, when people want to say, no, then I lose the plot. Because when you've been in darkness, when you've been drinking at all those polluted wells, you know the truth. When you've been pursuing happiness through sex, drugs, and all sorts of other stuff, you know the emptiness there are. And when Jesus comes and He says you, He'll give you living water, you taste, you savor, and you hold on. And the journey's not easy, because God's perfecting me. There's a lot of wrong thinking, submission issues, and all of those things, but it doesn't matter, people. So again, don't look at yourselves. Look at the one who promised. Look at the one who called. He's faithful, and He loves us. We can't understand that without Him. So my encouragement, last one, is that today, as you sit here, please pray to God. If you're not feeling that, ask Him to open your heart. Ask Him to circumcise it. Ask Him to do what He must. But He doesn't want you to sit here and feel like you've just ticked the box. He wants you to meet with Him, because He's come to meet with you.
Thank you very much. Jacobet. Jacobet is going to share how she got victory over fear.
Gavin, thank you so much. The joy of our salvation, brother. And this morning when you just started to share, there's such a joy that came up in my heart. And the reason for that is that we can really, every one of you here today can stand here one day and share that you don't have fear. People, we are so bound by fear. And I just want to say, it's been a long journey for me. I've been saved 20 years this year. And one of the first experiences of Jesus was on a Sunday night as a student. When I drove to Stellenbosch, I was at Tigerberg, and we had to drive through to Stellenbosch. And I catched a lift with somebody, and they dropped me off like a block away from my dad's house, because I had to sneak in, and my dad was waiting for me in the sitting room. And he got up, and he gave me all his anger, every little bit of it. And I was 20 years old, and I stood in front of him, and literally, I don't think you can see me tremble right now, but I was trembling. But I became aware of the fact that every part of my body on the back of me was trembling, but every part in front of me was as calm as the sea on a windstill day. And I realized here that my face that was looking at my father was perfect peace and calm. And my dad just ranted and raved, and he went on and on and on. And I just realized, when he's finished, I'll quietly leave. And that was one of the first instances where I had to take a stand for my faith. It's a small example. But every example, every victory in your life is a process. And I want to encourage you this morning that to hear God's voice, to come into obedience, and to live Romans 8 verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I want to encourage you today with all of your heart, begin that journey of hearing Him, but also obeying. Because that was one of the places where I realized if I do not respond, if I don't actually own up to the fact that I've heard God, I've heard Him, I know He asked me to do something. I've made many errors. But when I start to come back, when I begin to respond, and I'll just say this little thing. I was in Wellington this morning trying to get my business up and running. I stopped in the basement. And I got out of the car and I realized, I'm here and I'm not at church. I said, God, I'm not really obedient this morning, am I? And He said, get back in your car and come to church. Your husband is waiting here for you. And I turned around and when we began to worship, I just realized I have to come share something. So thank you, Gavin, for what you said. Thank you, Willem. We need to overcome by the word of our testimony. And actually, we can take this mic and we can begin to pass it on from one to the other. And I'm sure each one of you will have something to say to the glory of God. Let's start talking in our house and in everyday life about Jesus.
Thank you. Beautiful. I'd like us to listen to an audio of a man that belonged to a terrorist group that is as rough and as crazy and as mad as ISIS. He mentions the name in the audio. So are you guys ready? All right, let's listen to it. It is astounding, to say the least. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. He goes on to say where he gets invited to a camp and how a certain man comes to him and finds out about his love, about his life, and talks to him. And this man says to him, but I really feel I want to wash your feet and just to show you that God loves you. And this man washes his feet. And later on he finds that it's a Jew, a Jewish Christian. And where he's confronted with his hatred for Jews. And he realizes, but he can't hate them because they believe like he believes. And how he eventually ends up embracing this Jew, which is unheard of. I mean, he's grown up to hate the Jews. And how God brings reconciliation in Christ Jesus between a Palestinian Arab and a Jewish Christian. It's a very, very powerful testimony. Before we close this morning's service, and it's been different for a reason. It's different just to challenge us. I believe the Holy Spirit has led us to do it this way this morning. Just to challenge us to say that each one of us sit with good news. Why do you think the word is regarded as good news? What's so good about the news we have? Have you ever thought about that? What's good about the news you have, Vainant? It's eternal life. And when you have good news that's eternal life, that has life-changing ability, can you let any opportunity pass without sharing it? Can you? Can you, guys? God really wants us to share the things that He does for us on a daily basis. He really wants us to talk about the good news that is entrusted to each one of us, to our neighbors, to people that we work. I know we've heard this a million times, but I really feel this morning the Spirit is challenging us. The way to stand up out of your downtroddenness, the way to stand up out of depression, the way to stand up and to get victory over heaviness is by going to share the good news. Because when you share it, when you share something that God has done for you, when you share something significant of His love for you, suddenly you get a different perspective around your own circumstances. Suddenly you get taken out of that place of heaviness, the place where that burden is pulling you down and the yoke is difficult. Suddenly you get taken out of it and you get God's point of view on things. So it's not only good for the person that you share with, it's good for you too, to share the good news. And I want to encourage myself, because I also do it too little. And I want to challenge each one of us to share our testimony with folks about us, to use that opportunity. And when you feel it's the most inopportune time, it's probably the most opportune time.
When your flesh is shouting everything in you, don't do it. What will he say? What will these people say? What will that person do or think? Or what will they think? And so is standing here. That's the time to do it. And see the miraculous hand of God operating through your life. So we really want to encourage you. And I want to connect with the word that came out from CS. People have had a tough week, have felt heavy burdens. And I want to share a testimony of David. And he talks about it in Psalm 39. David says the following. He says, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. He's sharing a testimony of a challenge that he's sitting with, a battle within himself. While the wicked are before me, I will muzzle my mouth. I was mute and with silence. He says, I'm mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. He did nothing. He just withheld himself. And my sorrow was stirred up. I'm heavy burdened, David says. I'm heavy burdened. I'm going through a major sorrow. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. A fire within. He says, have you ever been there where you are so upset about something, everything in you wants to lash out? Who's not been there? Who's been there? You just cannot withhold. You are so upset. The injustice, what's happening has so upset you. And he's at that place. And David's sharing this testimony with us. And he says the following powerful, with this fire burning in him. He says, then I spoke with my tongue. We think, oh my goodness. He has now taken vengeance. He's going to react to the person or the situation or the people that have hurt him. Would you think so? Who of you would think so? I mean, he's burning with fire within him. He wants to react. He wants to take vengeance. He's upset. Then I spoke with my tongue. What is he going to, who's he going to speak to? Guess who he talks to in his moment of extreme heavy burdenedness, extreme burden. The yoke is difficult. He's upset. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Isn't that astounding? He's upset about something. He's upset with the wicked. He's full of sorrow. He's full of anger. He's disappointed. And does he go to the person that's causing this pain in his heart? Who does he go to? Lord. So he focuses all his frustration, all his pain to God. And he goes and says the profound statement. He says, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days. Does that make sense to you? Anybody got any ideas why he would say, God, show me the end of my days. Show me where I fit in. Show me the end that I may know how frail I am. Astounding. He focuses all his frustration, all his anger in this question. Lord, show me the beginning from the end. God, give me perspective before I act in the flesh. God, give me your insight, your understanding before I react. And let me see this moment of anger, this moment of pain, of frustration in the light of my whole life. How important is this pain that I'm going through in developing my walk with you? How important is it in the grand scheme that you've planned for the breath you've given me? How significant is this pain that I'm going through? When I see everything from your point of view, where I'm going to, where is the end of my life? And then in this anger, in this frustration, in this pain, let me, here it says, it's amazing, that I may know how frail I am. Lord, let me see that this situation that I'm going through, this pain, this anger that I'm sitting with, let me see and realize it just once again says to me, I desperately need you. It just once again shouts out to me, my God, in myself, I'm weak. My God, what am I? Do I have a right to get upset? Do I have a right to stand for my rights? Do I have a right to make a big huff about the situation? When I consider the great plan that you have, that you want to do through my life, when I see the beginning from the end, when I get your perspective, suddenly my problem becomes insignificant. It's not worth it when I consider that I'm actually just a passing breath. And he carries on by saying, indeed, you have made my days as hand breaths. My day, my life is as wide as your hand, God. And my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. God, is it worth it for me to allow this offense to grow in my heart? Is it worth it for me to allow this anger to simmer in me? Is it worth it for me when I consider how short my life is and how desperately needy I am and actually how weak I am as a human being? Is it worth it for me to stumble over this problem when I consider who I am in comparison to your plan? Will this build your kingdom, God? Will this extend your name? Will this be a testimony of your goodness when I allow this anger to consume me and when I vent this frustration, this disappointment out to the person that's caused it? Will they be built up? Will they be drawn to Christ? Give me perspective, God. Give me understanding. Give me insight. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, you are a shadow. I'm a shadow. May a shadow allow itself to be stepped up or stumbled by something? If we just a shadow, we shadow our God, the true God, the living God. The life within us comes from the true life. We're a shadow of the true life. God, give me perspective. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. A man heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And then he comes with a solution. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. So he goes from a place of massive frustration, massive anger, and then he says, God, give me perspective. I focus on you. I'm not going to go nail the person that's hurt me or frustrated or disappointed me. I'm going to look at you. And when I look at you, I look at my life in the big scheme of things. I look at myself through your plan, Lord. And I see actually how insignificant this problem is, this issue, this frustration is in your call upon this life, upon this breath. And when I've walked through this road of frustration and I've seen things from your point of view, then I realize as a shadow, my only hope is in you. My hope is in you. What do I wait for? He says, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. I wait for you, God, to take this offense, this anger, as I present it before you, this tough situation, as I lay it at your feet. You come and flood my heart with wave upon wave of victory and hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you all to close your eyes. Some of you this morning are saying, Mac, I need hope. I need the hope of the Lord. in a certain circumstance, in a certain challenge, be it with a child, a daughter. I sense there's someone here that whose daughter is going through a tough time, and you need hope regarding that daughter's life. I'd like you to stand up where you are. There's somebody here whose daughter is, and you're worried about that. There's more than one. There's more than one. You're concerned for your child. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Yes, there's more than one. Thank you, Lord. Some of you need hope in your marriages. Your marriage is shaky. Those that need hope in their marriages, be bold. Stand up. If you're there with your spouse, stand up. God will honor you for being bold. If you're in the mother's room or the toddler's room, stand up. Okay. Some of you need hope with your parents. Situation with your parent that's not working. It's a lot of aggression. It's a lot of discontent. I'd like you to stand up if you saying, God, I need your light and hope regarding my relationship with my parent. There's more than one. There's two. That's it. We need more. There's a few that need to stand up. There's a struggle. There's a battle with your parent. And they need to stand up here, guys, with marriage challenges. Doesn't mean your marriage is on the rocks. There's just a challenge in your marriage. Stand up. Be bold, man. Be scared. We're not going to think less than you. That's it. Thank you for your obedience. Stand up. Your marriage is not where it should be. It's not me talking, guys. I don't often do this. I'm very cautious to do this stuff. Very. Really wanted to be spirit-led. I want no flesh in this. Last thing I need and that you need is flesh to operate here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. I'd like you to hold out your hands. And any of you else need hope for any situation, stand up as well. Doesn't fall into any of the stuff I've mentioned. You need hope for something else. Stand up right now. You need God to give you His perspective, His understanding. You need to say, Lord, show me that my life is a shadow. Show me the beginning from the end from the beginning. Yes. I'd like us all just to put out our hands and let our palms face the roof. Let our palm face the roof. In front of you or above your head, wherever you want to, and pray the following prayer. Jesus Christ, help. My God, help me. You want to pray in Afrikaans? Pray now in your heart in Afrikaans. Roep uit na God, met 'n hoop kreet, 'n nood kreet. My God, help me. My God, help me. My God, save me. My God, guide me. My God, lead me. Oh God, just let your spirit cry out to God. Let deep call out to deep. Psalm 42, just deep call out to deep. Come under His waterfall. Come, let the Spirit's water gush over you and cast off all the mud. Wash away every heavy burden. Break every difficult yoke. Don't look at me, for goodness sake. I can do nothing for you. Keep your eyes closed and just say, God, help me. God, show me. God, guide me. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I need you. I need you in this situation, God. I need breakthrough, God. I need breakthrough. Please connect to the Lord right here, right now. He is very present.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.